work with the Subcommittee on Water Policy. I have this recording message blocking everything.
So this is Chris. I think everyone may. So just hit continue.
Yeah, okay. So good morning. This is Subcommittee on Minnesota Water Policy. This is a stakeholder meeting, not a formal meeting of the subcommittee. So thank you for being here. Today we're going to talk about and describe and get your feedback on potential legislative topics that are related specifically to water governance in the state. These topics were derived from bills introduced from legislators and from U.S. stakeholders. The topics were prioritized based on a stakeholder survey that some of you participated in. We will have two more meetings which will focus on other topics. The next one will be on the 30th of July. We're here today really to look for your input. We're asking you, do these topics address a need? If so, what are your suggestions for specific content with respect to bills around these topics? And this is really an opportunity for your input. And this would be probably better in person, but this is a way to do this during these times. So it's your opportunity for input. There will be four topics to discuss today. Our time is limited, so we won't probably have enough time to talk about them. Details on each one of these topics are available in position papers that have been posted and sent to you and posted on the website. So I hope some of you had a chance to look at those in general. And Chris Van Amber is here to help facilitate the meeting today. Chris is from management, MMB, and will help us with this. These are the buckets of topic issues that the subcommittee is working on. Today, we're going to focus just on that top one, on water governance. The topics under those today involve the following: the status and funding for SWCDs, the reactivation of the Water Supply and Wastewater Advisory Council, reactivation of the Legislative Water Commission, and then creating a Department of Water Resources and streamlining water governance and management. Those we're going to talk about together. So with that, I think I'll turn this over to Chris. Chris.
All right, great. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. All right, so I have a lot to kind of help us get set up for this interaction, for your feedback. So just bear with me as we kind of walk through the procedures for today. All right, so today's meeting, as Jim said, is going to be organized by the topic of governance. And so we'll have five strategies, and they've been kind of basically put into five categories. So for the way that we're going to be doing this, for each one of these strategies, Jim is going to provide an overview. And then we'll walk through the component parts of that strategy. And really, with the focus being to get your questions around that strategy and specifically the components. And then Jim will be able to address those questions in terms of, you know, what does this mean and going forward. So this meeting is different than most meetings you've attended. So of course, it's about informing legislation rather than building consensus. And so to do this, we'll be asking you to type questions and comments in the meeting today. It's not going to be so much an organ, you know, usually we come to a meeting thinking we're going to have a conversation. This one's a lot more about kind of providing questions and comments and getting information back, but with the intent of taking all the information you provide today and moving that forward to inform this legislation. Okay, so that. So that means that Jim and I are going to be doing most of the talking today. So if you possibly can, if you don't have your system on mute, if you could make sure everyone's on mute, that would be helpful just so we can make sure we can hear everyone. So as I said, this is going to be mostly Jim and I talking today. It's a new format. As Jim said, usually we're in the room for this. So we're going to be using something that is maybe familiar to maybe some of you. It's called a Padlet. It is an online collaboration tool. And so what I want to do is be able to kind of get you to a place where you feel comfortable using this tool before we start in on the formal part of the meeting. So a couple of things to know ahead of time. So the Padlet that we'll be using today, this online collaborative tool, will be available to you after today's meeting up till July 29th. So just know that this isn't your only time to be able to provide your input, that this will be available to you for the next 2 weeks, or excuse me, a week, really. So just to take a little bit of that tension off. So in just a moment, we'll have an exercise to get us comfortable with using it. But before we go into that, I want to let you know that if you are having any technical issues with Zoom, or if you experience any technical issues with entering the Padlet, I would like you to go ahead and chat Sandy Moss. So how you do that is you take, if you're not as familiar with Zoom as other platforms or at all, so take your cursor, basically put it onto your screen, your Zoom screen, and you'll get that bottom menu that will come up, this menu bar, and it's almost smack dab in the middle is the chat. And so it's this little bubble with, it says chat Ernie. If you go ahead and click on that, it will bring up this box, right? And in order to be able to chat Sandy directly, you'll see it says there's a two box or two, and it gives you a chance to select who you want to send your message to by hitting on that little carrot. I think it's called a carrot, that little downward arrow. If you click on that and find Sandy's name in that list, comes up as Sandy Moss LCC. Click on that, and then you can go to where it says type message here, and you just let her know what's going on. Can't use Padlet, difficulty entering Padlet, whatever you need to say. And then once it's in there, hit enter, and she will go ahead and help you with that. So just to be familiar with that chat box, I think it's going to help us out a lot today if you need help. Okay. Sandy, is there anything that you would like to say in terms of if people aren't able to chat you, should they be calling a phone number? Or should they just try the chat box first?
Yes, I think I would suggest trying the chat box. I mean, they can certainly call my direct number. Let me just give that real quick. I'm at 651-296-0099.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. All right. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what this looks like. So maybe some of you, I noticed that some people have gone in and taken a look already, but what I'd like to do is just share my screen briefly so you can see where we're going. Okay, so that when you get there, you'll know you're there. So let me go ahead and share.
Do I need to stop?
I think I can do that. Let me know if it doesn't work. So can you see the screen? Oh, wait, here. Yeah. There we go. All right, so this is where we're going. Okay, it looks like this. It's got some rocks in the back. It has four columns. There's a direction column. Then there are three columns in white. This is where we're going to be looking for you to participate in providing some answers. So that's where we're going. Let me go ahead and stop sharing now. All right. So to get the Padlet link, I'm going to go ahead and put the link in the chat box in just a moment. You can also find the links on your agenda, and it's actually the exercise link is the first one. All right, so a couple words I want to say before you click on it. So the weird thing is that we've learned with using Padlet is that for some reason, if you use Internet Explorer as your main or primary browser, it doesn't work. So you have to use a different browser. It can be Chrome, it can be Edge, Safari, Firefox. But if you have Internet Explorer as your default browser, you're going to need to basically cut and paste the link into a different browser. All right. So I apologize for some folks that if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, it's a little bit, I know, lots of steps, little things to be aware of. And again, contact Sandy if you have issues. So just make sure that you're using a different browser. So I'm going to go ahead and put the link into the chat box. Again, find your chat box, bring that up. I'm going to put the link into, and there it is entered. So I want everyone to go ahead and click on that link. And this is going to show us how we're going to be working today. This isn't the main Padlet, but this is to get us familiar. So I'm going to give it a couple minutes here, not a couple minutes, but just some time. Click on that. And that should bring you to that Padlet I showed you. Okay. We want to make sure that everyone's in. So I'm going to be checking with Sandy to see if there are any issues. I do know that we have someone that's joining us via phone today. Unless you have access to a computer, you're not going to be able to see this, of course. And so we'll talk through it. But most probably today, you're going to be listening to what people have asked and how Jim responds. All right. How are we doing, Sandy? Is everyone in?
I'm not able to see if they're in. I mean, they're in the room. I'm not getting any chat saying that anyone's having any issues, at least. Okay. So that's good.
That is good. All right. I don't see any hands up on the participant list either. So I'm gonna go ahead and assume that we're all in and just get us familiar with this, right? So let's just talk a little bit about how you navigate this Padlet. The directions are there in the first column. And so it's how to add to a column. So let's, the intent here is to add your answer to any one of these columns. You don't have to do all three of them, but maybe one. We want to know what your favorite lake is or your favorite river, or if you are a hydrologist or have the understanding, your favorite aquifer, mm-hmm. right? And so the way to add your answer is to go to the bottom of the column and there should be a circle with a plus on it. Click on that and it will bring up a new box and where you type your answer in the title and then click below and put your name and then just click off of it and it will add it to the Padlet. Okay, so I want everyone to give that a try by adding an answer to one of these columns. If you do add something and it closes on you without you having been able to add your name or something, you can put your cursor over the box and it will bring up this little menu. There's a pencil, a garbage can, three dots. If you click on that pencil, it'll allow you to edit what you just put in. So if you forgot to put your name, all of a sudden you can hit that and it'll allow you to put your name into it. Okay. And if you click off, it should add, just click off to one at the side. It should have added your box to the column. A couple other things to be aware of when you're using Padlet is that, so if anyone has just joined us, we've actually gone into an online collaboration tool. You can find the link in the chat box. And that's where we're working as a group right now. We'll need to introduce this again, I think, when we get to the main one. Okay, so other things you can do within this Padlet. You see the number three, you can read others' answers and add to them. So you can click on the heart if you like what their answer was. And that's a nice thing to be able to use as we're looking at your providing your input. If others agree with that input, they can like it. And so you can heart, just click on that little heart and it'll add your like. You can also add a comment, which is what we're going to be using a lot in the main Padlet. So to add a comment, you go to that, what looks like a cookie with strawberry kind of chips on it. You can click on that and add your comment. And I want everyone to try this. You can just put like just the question, what, as a comment, hit the arrow and it will come up as a question to that answer. Okay. So add something in the column or into the comment box and hit the click and hit the arrow, and then it's entered. To be able to navigate, because as these start to get really long with everyone's answers, you can either use the middle wheel of your mouse to go up and down to find and to look at all the answers, or there's also a bar, a shadow bar to the right of the column that you can go up and down. You can move that up and down and look at the column. And it's also important for you to know as you're doing that, no one else can see you do that. The way that this works is that it gives you kind of your own way of manipulating your screen without everyone else seeing it. So don't be bashful. Don't think that what you're doing is disrupting everyone else, because actually they can't see it. They can see what you add to the Padlet. So play around with those, with the column bars too, to move that up and down and just look at people's answers. I noticed we don't have as many answers in the aquifer column, but we have a few in the, especially the favorite lake. So for instance, I see a Austin put Gull Lake. I can add the column, you know, which Gull Lake is that? where is that? And then add that to that post. Okay. Manitou River, love that. I'm gonna like that one. So please feel free to add things to this as you're looking through it. This is your opportunity to get familiar with Padlet. And you will not be scored on how much you do here. It's just really getting you to a place where you feel comfortable. For those folks that have joined us, we're in the first Padlet that's listed on your agenda. It's the exercise to be familiar with how we're going to be operating today. We're going to be using Padlet as our primary collaboration tool. All right. All right. Well, let's come back to the main meeting here. Okay. So what we're going to be doing next is to go to the main Padlet that we are going to be using today. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that in the box, in the chat box, that is also located in the top of your agenda. So I'm sorry, I'm just starting to see some of the questions here. So Representative Torkelson, I see you asked, how do I insert my name? You should be able to put your name right in the post. As you post a answer, there is a title, and then there's kind of like this grayed out space for adding any additional explanation. You can just put your name right in that grayed out space. All right, I'm gonna put the next Padlet in the chat box. All right. So this will go ahead and bring up another tab. You can either close out the exercise tab or just leave it there. Click on this one, it'll bring another tab up, and this is our main Padlet for today. Okay, again, make sure that we're using a different browser than Internet Explorer. Go ahead and click on that. And I think I may have just sent that just to Sandy, so let me try that again.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it, Chris.
There we go. Yep, I think I sent it just to Sandy. So I apologize for that. Now you should be able to see it in the chat. Everyone should be able to have access to the link. All right. Let's give everyone an opportunity to get there.
Actually, I'm not seeing it now either. Maybe I'm not seeing the chat.
All right, so make sure that you bring your cursor down to the bottom of your screen. Bring up the menu bar for Zoom. And in the middle, just click on that chat box. That will bring it right back up again. Sometimes if you hit something and click on something else, it goes away. So just go ahead and click on the chat box again, and it will, you should be able to see there is the latest entry. Perfect. Thank you, Carmilla. Carmelita, thank you. Just kidding. She's just letting me know that she can see it. So appreciate that. Okay. So here we are. We're in our main Padlet. So as we said, and as Jim said in his overview, we are going to be focusing on these four columns, these four white columns, governance one strategy, and so on. We have five of them, but they're actually four and five are combined. I did go ahead and upload the white paper that Jim referenced as well. I would suggest that you, unless you really need that, I wouldn't bring it up right now. It's really there as a resource for the future as you go in, if you want to add things to the Padlet after today. But if you did click on that, what happens is it'll bring that up in a screen, and you'll need to download it and then hit an arrow on the left-hand side to get rid of it so you can see the Padlet. So it's just there as a resource. It might be best if you can bring it up on the email that Jim sent, if you would like to reference that document, but it's there if you need it. It makes it a little bit more difficult. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started with governance strategy one. And so with that, I will turn it over to you, Jim, to provide an overview for folks.
Sure, I'll introduce this, and we are, focusing now on G1 on the left-hand side of the Padlet. So I'll just introduce this with a few bullets. This is a very abbreviated summary of the issue. And this is about stormwater conservation districts. So SWCDs really carry out the state's conservation programs. They are, in fact, the boots on the ground for most of the clean water work that's being done within the state. They're really very highly regarded. However, funding for SWCDs is a continual problem, and it occurs every session. CDs have no taxing authority. Their funding comes from a variety of sources, local sources, general funds, capacity building, and clean water funds. Clean water funding has been an issue. It can dilute the clean water funding recommendation process from the Clean Water Council. Bills have been introduced this session and before that would do things like allowing voluntary consolidations of SWCDs with watersheds, or would provide funding from local property transfer fees. So what are some options? And I think this is just a topic that we need to try to come to consensus on and find a way that would be acceptable to all parties. So what are some options? Phased out clean water funds, phasing them out with increased general funding, increased general funds and equal allocation possibly to SWCDs, and an allocation based on performance, giving SWCDs levy authority, possibly fixed and permanent funding from the Clean Water Fund. Other options might include voluntary consolidation cooperation among CDs and watershed districts, changes to the tax bill, local fees, dedicated property transfer fees, a dedicated sales tax, are some of the things that have been discussed. So this is a really complicated issue. The issue lingers and I think really needs a permanent solution. My suggestion would be to look at the comments today and then actually to propose a dedicated hearing where we can spend a little more time on this issue to listen to testimony people can present verbally on this issue. So those are some of the options. And with that, I'll turn this back to Chris to kind of direct the comments that you might have.
All right, thanks, Jim. All right, I also just want to mention briefly, I did get a question whether or not Jim's notes can be shared with folks. And I think that they can, it's just when we can get those to you. Yes, definitely. If not after today's meeting for sure, but we'll see if we can get them to you sooner.
Chris?
Okay, yes.
I made a comment. I mean, we couldn't see him on the screen today. You just need to share a screen so we can see his notes. We could when you first had it up, but
I was trying to avoid going back and forth between too many screen shares because it just presents logistical problems. So we'll get them posted. We'll get the PowerPoint posted, okay. But we're trying to avoid going back and forth as much as possible.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for that. Appreciate that, Lawrence Baker. All right. Let's go ahead. So this is the way that it's listed here in the column is that, as Jim was just speaking, we have the different components of this strategy that are listed, right? So it's A through I. So we have phased out clean water legacy, the general funds, levy authority, fixed and permanent funding, voluntary, consolidation cooperation, changes to the tax bill, local fees, property tax fees, and dedicated sales tax, all ways in order to be able to find sustainable funding for SWCs and watershed districts. So as mentioned in what this strategy. So what we want you to be able to do here is, first of all, make sure that you can move up and down, right? So either toggle with your mouse wheel or that bar to the right. And if you have a comment or question about A through I, just go ahead and add them to that component by putting your comment right in the comment box. Remember, we talked about adding your comment or question and then hitting the arrow button. So if you have a comment or question about A through I, put it in there. And then if it doesn't pertain to those, you can add it to that gold box in terms of other things, other questions or comments that you have about this specific strategy. So we're going to give you a minute or maybe three to be able to put your questions in so Jim can address them. Again, this is the way to be able to understand what do these things mean. And I told you, remember we said earlier, it's going to be a different meeting because it's not so much a conversation. It's really about getting your input. So let's take a minute. And I do notice that that we did have an addition there. For the last one there is permanent funding should come through clean water. If whoever put that on there could give us their name, that would be really helpful. But go ahead and add your questions and comments where they pertain in that column.
And this is Jim. If you do have a question that I might be able to answer, just make sure you put a question mark at the end of it so I can kind of keep it identified as a question.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
I do see a question about an equal allocation to SWCDs and an allocation based on performance. That has been discussed. I've heard it discussed among some of the members, and that's certainly something that I think we should look at. So an issue that has been out there. How will the performance be evaluated and by whom? That's a good question, and I don't have a good answer for that, but I know there are members of the legislature who have ideas on that one, so I won't speak for them, but that's an issue that's been there. What happens when the legacy amendment sunsets? That's a really good question, and one that I can't answer, but one that we need to address, and that's actually a much larger issue than this. But that the sunset of that, if that amendment is reapproved, would be very problematic for the Clean Water Council, for STPUCDs for that funding, and for the agencies in general. So a great question, but one that's difficult. Are all watershed districts represented by it? Are all watershed districts represented by either administration or the BODs? I'm sorry, I don't understand that question. Maybe one of the members here can answer that, or you can maybe elaborate a little bit on that one. Do watershed local districts have rulemaking authority? I think within the context of the authority of the agencies, they do. If so, would that work in merger or cooperation between watershed districts? I know Emily is here. Maybe Emily, you can comment on that one. Can we organize our discussion for SWCD funding on state options and local options separately? Sheila, that's a good question, and I think I'm glad you put it in there. I think that would be a topic that we should pick up on. It sounds like we do probably have plenty of comments here. I think this topic will take would benefit from another meeting that would focus for an hour or so specifically on these issues.
All right, this is Chris. Do we have all of the comments in there? Let's see here, who's going through. Jim, I see that there's another one in the general fund. Did you hit the one at the Minnesota Association of Watershed Districts? How about setting up a system similar to local government aid?
Yes, I'm not seeing that right now, but a good question that I don't have a good answer for, but something that I think we need to discuss in more detail.
Okay. One thing that you can do, you can refresh your screen by just going up to the upper left hand. There's a little circle arrow that will refresh it so you can see all the new things that have been added. Under that same one, there are state funding formulas that are complex, can be precise, but very confusing. There is just a handful of transparent criteria. This might work. Thanks, Paul G, for that. Okay. Just want to give you a chance, Jim, just to review what's there to see if there's anything else that you would like to respond to.
I will say I think this is a very complicated topic, and I think based on what I know and what kind of comments we've had here today, I think my suggestion for this one is that we have a dedicated meeting to where we can all discuss this in more detail. But I think a lot of the issues raised here have been around and some are new, and we need a little more time on this one to try to look at the comments that have been presented here today and to have time for people to discuss this in an open format.
Okay, that sounds great. So we'll just leave it at that in terms of if folks continue to add questions or comments, just know that it would go toward a larger group conversation at another time. All right, Should we continue on then, Jim, with the next one, with G2, the reactivation of water supply and wastewater advisory council?
Right, certainly. So G2, the Water and Wastewater Operators Certification Council was created in 1971. At that time, the council had rulemaking authority as well as operator certification responsibilities. That council was sunsetted in 1995. At that time, it was replaced by the Water Supply Systems and Wastewater Treatment Facilities Advisory Council. It was formed at that time with somewhat different responsibilities, basically having no rulemaking authority. They operated through 1913, where the council was reviewed by the legislature and had a very positive outcome for retaining and keeping the council. However, the council was sunsetted in 2019, I think just because a bill to remove the sunset did not move forward. So the activity of the council is generally very well accepted by the legislature. It could provide legislative input regarding water supply systems, climate change, wastewater treatment, operator education and certification. The recreation of the council is supported by the small cities, organization for small cities, and I think by the agencies, although I won't speak for them, but I believe they were positive about the work of the council. It would ensure professional input regarding rules and guidelines. It would be advisory to the Minnesota Department of Health and the MPCA. The issue of whether staff are needed for this council, I think, is something that needs to be discussed. So my suggestion is that, you know, we retain this input today, refine the duties, and if it's supported, to prepare a bill that would reestablish the Wastewater Advisory Council. And with that, I'll turn it over to Chris.
All right, thanks, Jim. I see people are already starting to add things to the boxes here. So we want to give you time now to go ahead and add your questions or comments to each one of the components. If it doesn't show up in A through D, and it's a general kind of overview or something else, feel free to put that in the yellow box. Again, go ahead and add your comments and questions for this strategy. Go ahead.
Yeah, there are questions about, do we really need another committee to advise the MDH and the PCA? Certainly there are people, the Association of Small Cities certainly supports it. They think it provides value. The cost, I can't address that directly, but I think the costs are minimal.
All right, just looking for any additions to the column there. I'm sure as you folks are thinking about this, you're starting to think about what does this mean to be for water governance in terms of, is it specifically something that will govern everything or pieces of the governance system within Minnesota for water policy?
Question is, would this be necessary if there were a Department of Water Resources? We'll talk about that issue in a bit, but I think the point here is that there are experts, practitioners in the field who work with water supply and wastewater issues, training, certification, who have a little different perspective than those in the agency. So their advice, I think, is considered important.
Jim, we have many questions or comments in the gold box at the bottom of the column. Yeah. They're continuing to add.
Oh, well, did MDH and PCA follow suggestions of the professionals? I think they were listened to, and I think their perspective on training, on efficiencies in wastewater, on efficiencies in sharing staff, all were important. Is this a statewide or is it more of a non-metro issue? I think in general, this is a greater Minnesota issue because of some of the problems that small cities face with their water supply treatment. They don't have the resources that are available to the bigger utilities in the metro.
I see there's another comment in there about this would help with the opinions and feedback from the public and interested and affected parties.
Yes.
All right. Want to give a kind of last call out for this one. Anything else that people would like to ask or provide comment around the reactivation of the Water Supply and Wastewater Advisory Council? I see that we have folks that are using their like button as well. Okay, but lots of questions around this one in the last box there. All right. With that, Jim, should we go on to G3?
Sure, we can move on. Okay, so this one is about reactivation of the Legislative Water Commission. Water issues are important, complex, controversial, and costly, and the development of water policy really needs to be undertaken thoughtfully. The 12-member bicameral bipartisan Legislative Water Commission was created actually in 1989 as a recommendation and a part of the 1989 Groundwater Act. And it brought value to the legislature by having staff that provides members with a broad understanding of water issues. It provides a venue to discuss technical issues. It creates a public forum among legislators and the public and informs legislation, and it helps develop water expertise within the legislature. The Legislative Water Commission was sunsetted and then was reestablished in 2014 with a little different configuration. It now consisted of six senators, six representatives, and was bipartisan in nature. The staff coordinated with the Clean Water Council, the LCCMR, the Lesard Sams Group, and the agencies. The commission expired in 2019 and was replaced by this committee, the Subcommittee on Water Policy. So, if the work of the subcommittee is considered important, in my opinion, it needs to exist for periods longer than 2 years at a time. This would allow for staffing for the director's position over a reasonable amount of time, and would really allow that position to be filled by somebody unlike
hello,
me.
Can you hear me?
Hello? Would allow for the director's position and staffing to be filled by someone who is unlike me, who is trying to stay busy and is retired and doesn't really need to have this as a job. So I think it's important that it be longer term, and it could be filled with a person who would be around for 5 years. My suggestion really is that, I think the commission's very important and I think it needs to continue. I think the work of it is significant, but I think a 2-year period is difficult with respect to staffing. And with that, my suggestion would be that we would prepare a bill that would reactivate the LWC for a period of about 5 years. So that's my suggestions for this issue.
All right, thanks, Jim. I see that there are folks that are already adding to the Padlet column for G3. We have a lot of mainly support for the reactivation and a question regarding why have a time limit if it seems to be a good idea.
I can answer that. I think that is important. And I think a commission like this needs to be reevaluated. And if it's not productive, then it's not needed. So that sunsetting, I think, is important. A lot of commissions operate that way. But I think 2 years at a time is just a difficult length of time to be able to find someone who might want to work in that capacity.
All right, thanks, Jim. I do see, again, as I said, there's a lot of affirmation around reactivating the Legislative War Commission. Let's see, I was just looking, giving you the opportunity. So if you have comments or questions, please add them now. I know people have kind of gotten into there and started already, but we want to give you the opportunity to be able to do this, not to move on until everyone's had their opportunity to put in their feedback. There's a comment at the very end there in terms of maybe going through a process to determine exactly what good the commission or this committee has accomplished, just to do an evaluation, see how what's been accomplished as well. There's also another question there. Can the chairs of the relevant policy and finance committees beyond this LWC would help actually get bills through? So combining it with our policy and perhaps financing.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's nothing that would prohibit the chairs of the other committees from being active in this committee, except that they have a lot to do within their own committees. The chairs of the committees are busy people. So that's important, but I'm not sure that it's feasible.
All right, a couple other additions to the 5-year period in terms of perhaps there's really no need to sunset an agreement there. All right. Well, thank you for this, folks. It looks like there's a lot of agreement on this one, a lot of questions asked as well. All right, let's go on to the next one. The G4, G5, creating a Department of Water Resources, streamlining water governance and management. Go ahead, Jim.
Certainly. And we're combining two of these issues here because they're related. And this is a complicated issue. And again, I think this one may need some a longer period of time to where we can discuss it in an open format. So, There has been a bill introduced that would combine water responsibilities and abolish some departments. That's Senate File 2102. A Department of Water Resources would be created. It could provide benefits as well as some unintended consequences. One water agency department has been proposed in the past, and it's been studied by several groups. Several reviews have made suggestions around that issue and about efficiencies that could be accomplished with or without that combination. Those include groups like, well, there are many of them, but in particular, the agencies have a report out on this topic, and the water sustainability report by the university about 10 years ago spent a good deal of time talking about this as well. So it's not new. It's been studied. There are good suggestions, and I think we need to consider them. There'd be a great value, I think, in evaluating some of the existing recommendations for better interagency coordination and consolidation of some roles and responsibilities. Generally, there are two schools of thought on this issue. One is that governance as it exists now with the several different departments is complicated. There are too many agencies and the current system provides and too many agencies and the coordination is not well done. The other issue really is that the current system provides a strong and healthy competitive relationship among the different agencies. So you can find arguments for and opposed to consolidation, both which have value. So recently, the most recent report was done by the University of Minnesota, the Water Resources Center, and the Humphrey School, and by the Minnesota Department of Health. That was published in 2020. It was called The Future of Drinking Water. So they looked at this issue in some detail. And their recommendation was not a consolidation of agencies, but the creation of a formal coordinating entity from the agencies and across the agencies. They recommend some minor changes to the current statutory framework that would clarify connections among agencies and address recommendations that have been made in previous reports and studies. The suggestion here is that a bill be worked on that would create this coordinating entity made up of agency staff and that they would report back to the legislature based on recommendations that have already been made by the university, by the agencies themselves, and prioritize those and create that report to the legislature and create that coordinating committee. So that's the brief history of this topic, and it's a complicated one.
All right, thanks for that, Jim. All right, I see people have started to put comments in. Please, at this time, put your comments or questions on the Padlet, either specifically for those components of the strategy or the gold box below if things aren't, if your comment or question is not represented by those other components. Take a moment, give people an opportunity to like, comment, or add an idea.
I guess in general, general comment that I want to kind of reinforce is that this topic really has come up several times. It's been studied in a lot of detail. I don't think we need to restudy the issue, but there are recommendations in those reports that are really good. And I don't think those recommendations have come forward and been looked at with enough scrutiny. So there's really is some good advice, some good suggestions, many of those from the agencies themselves on better coordination and cooperation among the agencies.
All right, so if there is any So along with what Jim just said, there's for letter C there, if you agree, there's a like button there. You can also add your comments. We're seeing a lot of understanding in terms of maybe some of the unintended consequences of putting everything under one agency. But there is also the acknowledgement that any simplification would make it easier. And that the multiple levels of kind of governance from federal to state is also something to consider.
Now, there is a fairly detailed discussion of this topic that I can post on the subcommittee's webpage if for you to look at. It's long. It's they include for the most part my opinions on this, so it's not something that has been blessed or approved by the subcommittee. But if there's interest, let me know. I can send that to you.
Okay, I'm just looking to see if there's anything in addition that any additional questions about this. Okay. Not seeing any additional information yet. So that kind of that brings us to the conclusion, right, of the governance piece here in terms of providing input. Jim, is there anything else that you wanted to say?
Chris, we have a little bit of time. I'm wondering if do we have a way to get some feedback on the meeting itself? What people could people put that in, maybe spend 5 minutes, put that in the chat if they have suggestions for the way this meeting worked?
Yeah, definitely. I think it would be helpful. I was thinking the same thing. I mean, I could either put another column on the Padlet or, you know, just to be able to give so people can give their
can
feedback.
Can you add a column?
Yes, I can. I can.
And then just to kind of reinforce, this isn't the end. If you want to think about this, if you want to look at my presentation, which I'll post, we can post today, and then think about some of these things that this will be available for you for a week. And Chris, maybe you can send me a note about how, just so that people know how to get there again.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So I did add a column. So feedback on this meeting format / Padlet. It's a different meeting format we're used to. As I said, as a facilitator, I'm used to coming into a room and helping people have the conversation, right? And this is really intended to be able to bring together folks to be able to provide input. And so you can see each other's input. So it's a little different way of doing things. And as you heard Jim say, most likely there'll be a couple more meetings that are going to be convened to have specific conversations around these strategies. So I think that's also important to say. Knowing that we got as much input and questions around specifically like the SWCDs and watershed districts, that was very helpful to be able to shape what to do next. But in terms of being able to access this information, I think what we'll probably want to do is to make sure that we, a couple of things, make your presentation available, Jim, along with the paper again and the Padlet information. For everyone that's on today, should have the agenda with the Padlet links right in it. And so you can always, those are live. Those don't go away. You can continue to use those links, until the 29th is when we're going to basically say, this is the time when we're going to take whatever is there and go ahead and document that as the final kind of input for governance. So if it's put on there afterward, we're not going to see it. So if you can get that in there before the 29th or at the end of the 29th, that'd be helpful. But I think there should be something in terms of follow-up to provide people that opportunity. Does that help? So you have the links, but we can also follow up. All right, I'm seeing In terms of the feedback on the meeting, yes, definitely. This is also the first, right, Jim? So this is the first meeting and kind of trying this out and seeing how it works for folks. Most likely this will be the format that we continue with in future strategy conversations. There will be breakout rooms just because we think that there's going to be enough, a lot of people for some of these topics that will want to break out so that people have a little bit more space in order to be able to fill out the Padlet and have some conversation. So by seeing we have good, let's see, small group, limited time frame, breakouts. Yes, good stakeholder process. Thank you, Larry, appreciate that. Helpful way to explore issues. Zoom makes it convenient. I can tell you the one thing I thought about, folks, is just, you know, in terms of not having to go through trying to find parking. So I think that this is a nice thing to be able to meet online and to be able to do it kind of at our, you know, in a comfortable way. But of course, that limits some folks being able to participate in terms of they have the setup. So that's also something to be aware of. Okay, good idea for more people to comment. Okay, yes, discussion, definitely. I think that is going to be the next part of the path for these conversations, for these topics. Right, and asking the right questions. Okay, fine for the first go. All right, we appreciate that, folks, in terms of that will really help us inform our next meetings. I'm actually very surprised how quickly we went through this, but I think it at least you have this familiarity with it. So if something comes up, you can add to it. And if you're like me and have a little bit of a processing mind, as you continue throughout the day and you think about things, you can add it to the Padlet. Anything else, Jim, that you want to add in terms of next steps?
You know, we're planning, our next meeting is planned for the 30th at 10 o'clock. During that meeting, we're going to talk about policy issues specifically. So, and that will be probably there are more of those. So we'll have breakouts. You'll have to decide which one of the breakouts you want to attend. You know, I think the feedback here is really helpful. You know, on the positive side, people don't have to travel and the pandemic aside, I think these virtual meetings result in better participation because people do not need to drive across the state in some cases to attend. On the other hand, it's different from being hosting a meeting in person. So I understand that. Other than that, I think I really want to thank you all and thank Chris for helping and Sandy for helping us with this meeting. And thank you so much for attending. Your feedback's really important, and I appreciate it, and the subcommittee members appreciate it, and thank you all so much for being here today. You'll hear more from us about the July 30th meeting soon. Okay.